Been saying dada dada for the last 9 months. I finally got mama a month ago. But it was so interesting. I had that picture in my heart because she described him as a toddler saying mama. I was wearing this dress, and as we were just, our prayers were that we'd have another child and not have to like struggle with that. And here, total miracle gift of God. We weren't, trying to make it happen. And all of a sudden, whoa, hey, February, we're pregnant. Okay. And but then you go through those fears, right? If you've ever been through a miscarriage, the fear of the what if. And I had to battle those fears with the promises of God in Scripture and that beautiful prophetic word that that lady gave me in our lobby. So it says this in 1 Timothy 1:18, New Living Translation. It says, based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier, may they help you fight well. Another translation says, so by them, you will fight the battle well, this fight of faith, right? And I don't, those words of encouragement that people give in these gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant to what confirm what God's already talking to you about. And that was actually more the sign and wonder to me, is that God knew my heart's desires and he was confirming it. But I had built that foundation of the scriptures that I was standing on in faith. And so what I want to talk to you about, and I always want to present a balance. I kind of like flip-flop my whole message, and if I don't get to the second half, that's okay. Come back next week, because the baby's due the first week in November. We might see you. If not, we'll send you a picture from the hospital. It'll be fine. We got great guest speakers lined up. But I always want to say this. I have learned in a world of extremes, trying to find a healthy balance in the middle, where we want to create space for these gifts of the Holy Spirit to move and the wild wonder that he does and the miraculous. But what we need to lean into is the foundation of Scripture, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so if you're always searching for a prophetic word to guide you, it's very easy to get weird and off track. Does that make sense? But if you're always searching the Scripture for God to speak to you, he'll build this like fortress in your heart of the things you stand on in faith. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes he will put people in your path, and you might even be the person put in someone's path that says, I was praying for you, and this scripture kept rising up in my heart, and I just want to share it with you and not make it weird. And that would be the same scripture they've been standing on for 2 years for a promise in God. Or it could be in some of these prophetic words of wisdom or knowledge. And so that one would, about the future, would have been a word of wisdom. So I just want to encourage you. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are to build on the foundation of Scripture, not to replace it, because that's the fastest way to get weird. And weird Christians, honestly, we love them. It's like real talk, like, you know, we're the family of God. Every family's got, you know, that one, right? We love them, but you're going to be far more effective if you're not weird. So I want to just say that. So I want to talk, and like I said, I actually was not getting to a lot of things I wanted to equip you with some practical tools on how to hear the voice of the Lord. So I'm putting my story at the end if we get to it. But I want to give you some tips, pointers, and scriptures on how to hear the voice of the Lord clearly, number one, for yourself, and number two, for someone else. Isn't that beautiful? Because when we're hanging out with God and we only make it about us, that's a dangerous place to be as a Christian. A very self-centered Christian that's always all about them gets stagnant and frustrated. So, talk about like the Dead Sea. There's no outlet. They begin to stink. Real talk. But if you get to the place of like, hey, I want to hear from God for myself, but I always want to get some extra to encourage someone else. You get this really healthy flow, and this is my plug for Grow Group. Get in some little Bible study where you can get in that flow to encourage people in their weakest of moments and their scariest of places. So, how do you do that? So let me just start in the basics here. Really quick, the answer is always found in his presence. I mean, you could go to the middle of Walmart and be like, God, send me a sign, send me someone, and you might get someone. But that's probably not the healthiest place to be, because you might get a weirdo too. Listen, if you want to meet weirdos, hey, listen, I'm probably that weirdo at Walmart sometimes because I have more time when I actually can get there. I try to like pray and try to find someone to encourage. Just try to pray for someone. But all right, so the first thing is the answer is always found in his presence. You're like, Sherry, tell me something I don't already know. Well, if we already knew it, we'd be doing it. Although we know the stuff up here, but like we don't put a lot of weight in it, right? Because faith without works is dead. So if we're looking for our answers from other people, from this world system, from our government, from the media, from, you know, those answers are flawed. They're human. They're doing their best, but really our answer is found in his presence, right? And I think like the hardest part we have as, I'll just say this, American society, because I talk about culture and I studied organizational communications in college, and I studied actually communication in other cultures is very different. Does that make sense if you've ever studied some of those things? So our American culture is different. We are a very fast-paced society. Do you have friends that ever come from other nations where their culture is just like chill? I like being around them. Invite me over for dinner with your chill. Like, first of all, I love the food. And I'm like, it's just chill. It's peaceful. And you get around other cultures, family cultures, where it's go, 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 grind, grind, grind. Like, got to get it done. You know, grab your granola bar, run out the door. We got to do this. We got to do this. We got five different football games to go to. We got. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I can't even, I don't know, being around you is actually stressing me out. And I think a lot of that is American culture. So a lot of our quiet time with God is quietly sitting down for 3 minutes with our Bible app that gives us a scripture of the day. Or listen, I think organized devotionals are great, but I think that's something that's like a vitamin. Like, I don't know about you, I'd rather eat pot roast and not live off like a multivitamin, right? Anybody like a good pot roast? My mom makes a good pot roast. I'm like, you know, feed me. And they're like, and here's a little supplemental vitamin, a little extra. You know, get a little extra vitamin D in your life. And that little app and that little devotional is your little extra vitamin D. But that's not supposed to be the feast. And, Brian was quoting somebody gave us a little baby book of Psalms 23, but I prepared a table before you. And the presence, like, I want you to feast on my presence. I want you to feast in my word and not rush. Because, okay, we're coming up on holiday seasons, and I don't know about you, like, both my dad and my mom cooked in our house, but mom was the primary. And man, she still can. My mom can cook, okay? And listen, you know, for a holiday, you spend all day, sometimes 3 days, prepping for the feast, right? And if you have a relative, as much as you love them, roll in because they got four places to go to. And there's, we've been talking about boundaries of like, you know, like maybe it's not just hit four places in 2 hours. But if they come and they're just kind of sit down and go, hey, mom, thanks for having us. It's just great to see you. I'm gonna pass the potato. Okay, we got 45 minutes. Okay, we gotta hit the next one. And that's actually how a lot of families are. I'm not criticizing it. I'm just saying, like, sometimes we fall into such people-pleasing that we overcommit ourselves, and we're always eating on the run, and we're not feasting in the presence of the people that have prepared something, that pot roast, that turkey, whatever you're into. Maybe you're doing Feliz Navidad. We did that for Christmas. I was like, here we go. You know, and we do that with God. It's the eat and run. Hey, thanks, God. It's been great. Thanks for the 15 minutes. Check you out, you know, tomorrow, same time, same place. And that's really not love, it's not honor. And if we can just train ourselves, and I'll say this, I've been saying it for a while, but I think us as the American church, and Brad and I, even in our marriage, we have to go through seasons. Seasons, Stuart talked about it in our marriage grow group the other day. You have to really pray about different seasons that you're in, because it's really easy to get in a season where you are just so overcommitted that you're just always living on the go. And it's just grab and go with God. Hey, God, good to see you. Thanks. All right. Just eat as much as I can. Grab the granola bar and I got to go. Because we're so concerned about pleasing everyone else in our life and saying yes to everyone. And God's like, I'm glad we're having this little bit of time, but I have so much more to give you. And all the mamas and the grandmas in their house are like, here's a to-go bag. Hey, wait, don't. Come on. Are you that person? Like, don't leave. You did not eat enough food. You know, we got the to-go container or whatever. And, you know, he'll meet you wherever you're at. This isn't a judgment thing. I'm just saying, let's be praying about pruning back our lives a little bit and creating some space. And I don't know about you guys, like, I'm not a religious person. Brad and I kind of like to watch, like, a show right before bed. Anybody else, like, you know, like, your little hour program? Like, I hate religious people. They're like, we don't watch TV. We like Netflix, okay? Like, I like some sci-fi here, okay? But I'm learning to like sometimes trim back that, or we're sometimes not having that time because we're spending time together as a family, or, you know, Brad gets his guitar out and, you know, we're just trying to slow down. Because if you're at this point where you're like, I'm trying to spend time with God, because, you know, Pastor Sherry and all these people keep saying he's talking, but all I'm hearing is the crickets. Anybody? You ever go that season that like, I've pruned my life. I've gotten this like chunk of time, 30 minutes, you know, I've got it. And then you sit down with your Bible and you're like, this is great. It's the longest 30 minutes of your life. Why? Because like real talk, it takes us a while to tune in. it kind of takes us a little bit to find our step. And so if you're in the crickets moment, I'm just going to give you some thoughts about not rushing. I come from a hunting and fishing family. I'm terrible at it, but I had a lot of fun hanging out with my dad and my grandpa when they were alive. And they did teach me how to use a compass because I was the deer pusher because I'm so loud. So that was it. They put me on a mountain to say, here's a compass, now walk that way. And be yourself. So be really loud and talk to all the animals like Snow White, you know, and push all the deer towards us. So I did know how to use a compass. And the thing with a compass is this, if you're running around and hey, what's up, you know, you're gonna read that compass really well? No, you gotta what? Calm down, stop. Calm down, chill, settle, look at it, get a little time. And I think our internal compass is always rattling around because we're just moving and moving and moving, trying to fit it in. So just some thoughts. Like I said, these are just thoughts. I'm probably not going to get to my story, so come back next week. If you don't have a baby, it'll be fine. But these thoughts of just settling our heart, getting quiet, I'm going to talk a little bit more about. But how do I even say this here? I think our conversations with God is a lot like our phone conversations. You ever been on the phone with someone and they just talk and 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 tell you all about their day and all about their problems? Oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah. And we're women, we cycle like 3 different times, like over it. And they're like, okay, so good talking to you. All right, I'll catch you next week, bye. And you're like, wow. If you even asked how I was doing, you didn't even wait to hear the answer. Because I don't know about you, my husband Brad, now listen, Brad, I fell in love with him because I couldn't wait to hear what he had to say. Now, I could talk to a brick wall for 2 hours. Not a problem. But I realized on my first date with Brad, that was just, you know, lunch at a Thai restaurant on a random Monday. We met online. That 4 hours later, I wanted to be quiet and listen to him. No, I didn't talk for 4 hours. That sounds terrible. No, but real talk. I don't think I would have gotten a second date, honestly. No, I know that sounded terrible. 4 hours later, I was still listening to him and I hadn't been bored yet. I thought he was brilliant and so smart and so funny. And he had a really good like wit that I was like, I should stop talking because I think he's funnier than me. Oh, this is great. And I tell him that all the time. And actually, he's very theatrical. Like I did theater in high school or whatever, but Brad actually is better at it than I am. Things I wouldn't have known had I not just shut my mouth and ask questions and listen. And I don't know about this, not all men are different, but more men are a little bit less talkative than women. And sometimes you got to give them a little time, right? Just let, you know, enjoy the silence. And I loved falling in love with this man. I was, like I said, forget my notes, whatever. We'd just be driving. We dated during pandemic. There was nothing to do. You know, you walk the dog, you go for a hike, you cook, you eat ice cream. We had a lot of Tillamook ice cream and hit Perrydale a ton. It was great. I gained 18 pounds of happy weight. It was wonderful. So anyway, I also realized how much I love the silence with him. You know, little Simon Garfunkel, the sounds of silence, you know. We just drive, and I just enjoyed being with him. And, you know, after about a 30-minute drive, because he's in Maryland or whatever, and he would just kind of sometimes just share his thoughts, and I was like, God, I like what he has to say, and if I want to hear more, I probably shouldn't. The worst thing is, like, a girl that won't stop talking on, like, a road trip. I remember the first road trip we ever did to go visit his friends in West Virginia. And I was like, it was like 6.5 hours. And you know what? It was great to enjoy the quiet. I know it sounds funny. I didn't feel this compulsion to need to like fill it all up. I was enjoying the peace that came with being with someone that was healthy. And it made me healthier. So what am I talking about here? Our phone conversations with God. Often it's just our little laundry list. It's the stuff we want to... You know, I'm frustrated. I can't believe this. I need this. And how are we going to pay this bill? And God, oh, it was really good to talk. I laid it all at your feet. Okay, talk to you tomorrow. And he's like, how about you just chill with me for a little bit? I might not have the answer, but I am the answer. And as you read my word, I'm going to fill your heart and take that stress out. And you're going to have peace. You may not walk away with all the answers. The check didn't come in the mailbox today. But I'm the God of more than enough, and I want you to feast on my presence. And you know, like I said, I'm totally forget my notes, but sometimes you got to set the mood to hear from God. I'm going to talk about all of our dates. I'm super in love with my husband. He's great. I remember he drove up 1 hour and 8 minutes or whatever because it was our second date, and he didn't want to stand me up because the man's smart. Don't stand up a girl you met online on your second date, but he was sick, okay? I opened up the door, and he had like that red nose and the glassy eyes, and I went, that man drove 1 hour and 8 minutes. And I think it was like a weeknight or whatever. And I was like, wow, that's commitment, that's care. You know, you don't say the L-bomb that early, you know? That's commitment and care. And I was like, and we were going to go to some really nice restaurant. I was like, and I knew from us talking for a while, he happened to love Hardee's. Now, I'm not a big Hardee's fan, but he loved Hardee's. And Hardee's was right across the street from my apartment. And we had Hardee's. I said, you want to have Hardee's and just bring it back? We'll just do a little candlelight Hardee's, you know? It was just Hardee's. Like, we literally, I mean, you just pop open the box and put it down. But it's not where you are, per se. It's who you're with, and it's what the atmosphere you set. Sometimes you're going to just set the chill mood. And, you know, that's the beauty of worship. I want to say this. There's just something about worship that, you know what, we're going to honor, and we're going to slow down. We're just going to focus and enjoy the presence of the Lord and make it all about Him. And I'll tell you, if you come into worship late, I'm just glad you're here. But if you can try to get here on time or even a couple minutes, because it normally takes about 2 songs to what? Just get all the funk out of your head. Come on. Like all I don't know about you. It's just hard to get through the door sometime. My kid does stuff in his diaper right before we're leaving every single time. And sometimes I pick him up and put him here. I'm like, all right, new outfit change. Fantastic. Just, it's a winner. You made it through the door. So no guilt, no condemnation, no shame. I am faking it every day. But it normally takes about 2 songs for me to just get out of my head and just set the mood, man. And it's beauty of worship. And listen, if you're not really sure, like talk to some people on the worship team. They actually all have different styles of worship that they prefer. And they all meet together here and they pray about the songs. But they'll get you some options of different kinds of styles of worship that are all what they preach the gospel through song. You know, if you're into, you know, whatever. There's something for you, but find something that actually talks about scripture, okay? All right, so Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says this, counsel in the heart of the man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will bring it out. So I've said this before, but as a kid, when you go to the beach, like we didn't go to like fancy beach, you know, we went to like the beach, there was a beach and we were there, you know, we go to fancy places. And I remember when you're not at Fancy Beach where there's tons to do, you just dig a hole all day long. And the next day you dug a hole. you dig till what you think you hit China, but you really didn't. You just got as far as you could till you got really hungry, right? And the goal is just really simple. We're gonna hit water. And you dig and dig and dig. And then what do? Sometimes you just gotta sit, chill, you know, have dinner, and then you look and you see the water's starting to rise up. You remember that feeling, how cool it was? When it was just, the water's starting, and you sit, and what, like 2 hours later, you're like, oh. I don't know why that was like success when you're a child. What, digging a hole? And we got water. I didn't have an iPad as a kid. We got water, okay? There is counsel inside of you because when we give our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, right? The Spirit of Christ Jesus. And there are answers. His voice is inside of us. And sometimes we're just going to have to dig into scripture and ask him lots of questions and be okay with not getting the answer we're looking for and just chill. And maybe open up our Bible before you go to bed that night. Just read a little bit, just chill. And suddenly there's some direction that rises up in your heart. And I'll talk a little bit this in detail of like how we hear the voice of God. Because I don't know about you, but in scripture, every time they talk about somebody hearing the voice of God, you're like, Elijah, it is God. You need to do this thing. You know, and it was just like really obvious. And I always thought it was this really loud, obvious voice. And I was not among the chosen, cool, super spiritual people because that never happened to me. And it's actually not the case. And when you kind of find out in your relationship with God how God has created us all differently, many of us hear a little bit differently. But it's always God because it lines with scripture. So I always say this, the most powerful thing you do is lean into scripture. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about this. So number one thing is give God a little time. And I use this, but this is 14-year-old disgusting jar, but whatever. There's oil on the top, water on the bottom. Okay, this is the chill life. This is just sitting with Jesus. And this is called real life. This is called tomorrow. This is called as soon as you hit traffic and somebody cuts you off. This is when you realize you're in the middle of cooking something and you're out of the 2 key ingredients. You're like, ah, you know, You stub your toe. This is just life, and it shakes you, and it shakes your emotions. And just called real life, it's hard to hear from God. And it takes a little time for some things to settle. And you're like, I have no time, I'm busy. Welcome to America. But somehow people from other cultures and other nations have figured out how to chill. And I think we could learn a little bit from them because their priorities are sometimes a little bit different. And I don't think they have their kids in four different sports with four different kids each. And I'm just saying, like, do we really need to do everything that we think we need to do to please all the people we think we need to keep up with all the Joneses, to have the biggest car, the biggest house, and this and this and this and this? Is it really needed? What does it cost you? What do you really gain? All right. Thoughts. So in a time of decision or a time of need, and I think pretty much everybody in this room is in what? A time of decision, a time of need. It's called being human. Fasting distractions is super important. Pruning your life and making things a little simpler is super important. And if you don't think there's any, I remember someone told me recently, they're like, I really prayed about this and I didn't think there's anything I could cut out. And Brad and I were like, I don't think that's healthy. If there's not one thing you can cut out of your life, you might need to look at the priorities in life. And how much people pleasing are we really doing? So Hebrews, and if you don't know what to cut out of your life, just lean to the word, read it long enough, and God will show you. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing the soul and spirit, exposes the motives of the heart. And you're like, well, God will just tell me what to cut out. Well, listen, you're so busy you can't even hear him. So just sit down, read scripture, or listen, play it in the car, play it while you're washing the dishes, and let the scripture just show you what the re-priorities in your life are. Because he will start to surgically go, hey, that's people-pleasing. Hey, you think you really need that bigger, better, whatever, something, this, that, electronic car? You really don't. You're just going to put financial stress on your marriage and going to have to get a second job. So maybe just cut that out. And hey, maybe that friend that says that they're a friend, but they're really not, they just want you to be their dumping ground. And they take up 2 hours of your life every single week to blah, 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 okay, thanks, talk to you later, and really are not building you up at all. Maybe you just bring them to church and invite them to your Bible study, and maybe you spend more of that time with me or with someone else. He's going to start showing you some things. Romans 12, verse 2 says, renew your mind in the word daily. It says this, and then you will learn what God's will is for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And I will say this, and something I've confessed to some friends within the church and outside the church. I said, you know, when I am really fighting just to scrape out that more time with God, more time with Brad, more time with my family, more time with like friends that really build me up, encourage me, and call me out on my unhealthiness, but they're for me. It's easier for me just to hear and go with the flow. But when I am dealing with a lot of hurt, and people that, you know, there's people in your life that just attack you and pick you apart. You're never good enough. No matter how hard you work to please them, you're just never enough. They're always offended. You know, it's just no matter what you do or say, I realize, now this might be that I'm, that hurt, that offense, that just drama made it hard for me to hear from God. And I started kind of adjusting. Maybe, you know, you can't cut them out of your life, but they don't get to speak into your life. And that's okay, because it got a lot easier because I wasn't all up in my head all the time with all that hurt and pain to hear from God. So God is always pulling for your full attention. He's always pulling and drawing. So I want to kind of dig into something soon. 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12, God spoke to Elijah. And it says this, that when God spoke to Elijah, it was not in the strong wind or the earthquake or the fire. But after everything had settled, this is what happened, the sound of a gentle stillness, a still, small voice rose up. And I'm telling you, in the Bible, there are sometimes, like I was thinking about it, like in scripture, Paul, you know, on the road to Damascus, like he had that encounter with God, and people heard a voice. So there are those audible voice times. But many times, and the most times, I mean, Elijah was one of the most powerful prophets to walk the face of the earth. And he was all in his emotions, man. He was in his disappointment. He had been brutally attacked, slandered, run out of town. I mean, just, he was in an awful place, and he was straight up fighting depression. He was actually wanting to die. And I love the raw honesty of the word, because if you've ever been in that place, thank God there are humans in the Bible that were real, that walked with the Lord, and when they're in their lowest of low. And God didn't answer him with a, bah, bah, bah. Elijah, this is God. This is what y'all are supposed to do, thou saith the Lord. It was a still, small, gentle voice that started slowly rising up. And it was very interesting. Elijah went to his man cave. And everybody goes, hey, Pastor Sherry said I can have a man cave. Brings you closer to Jesus. I mean, you can watch the game in it, but maybe you need a space. You know, my mother-in-law has her sewing room. You know, some people have the man cave. Sometimes it's just, I just have this overstuffed chair in the center of my house where there is chaos going around with my kid. But maybe you just close your eyes, you put your earbuds in. But there is that secret place, that more quiet place, that maybe it's just in your car. I've met some people that they have a really full house and there's really no space and they just go sit in their car in the driveway. Or they just go in the park. I drove past an old friend's house and she's literally, yesterday I prayed for her. I drove past her house and she's sitting on the front porch with this glossy eye stare, just staring out, just holding the dog leash, just sitting there. And I was like, must have been a rough day. She's probably like, I'll walk the dog. And what, she just need to sit and be still and listen for what God is saying. But, you know, if we live in this world where people come against you, where people slander you, people gossip against you, people just work as hard. You know, they're letting go of people every week. And it can rattle you. And I'll say this, like sometimes we're so driven by the chaos and the confusion and the fires and the bad reports that if we're not purposely trying to take some time with God to wash our brains out, we're just so clogged up with the funk. Like a drain that, you know, your husband's like, don't let these things down the drain. You know, there's things that clogged your drain, right? And you, if you don't unclog that drain every day, it's going to be hard to hear. And that's what it means to renew your mind. Every day, all the nasty, all the gossip, all the slander, all the attacks, all the fear, all the what if, all the pressure, all the finances, the budget. The principal called me like 3 days this week. I just need to lay let's unclog the drain to hear the gentle stillness. And the thing about the still small voice is it requires the greatest amount of trust. It actually requires more faith. And faith is what moves God. Not your need, but what your faith in that gentle, still voice requires more faith. And I'll tell you, we're looking for the spectacular. God is talking to you right now. And the tingles and the goosebumps and the, you know, if you've ever been around the charismatic circuit, I need an experience. And sometimes you have them. They're powerful. I am not downplaying it. But you're not going to probably get one of those every day. I'll tell you. No, I have two. But if you think that's the only way God talks to you, your faith probably won't be as strong as the still small voice daily. We are looking for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. And the supernatural is sometimes the still small voice. And when we're asking questions, God will often speak back to us through scripture because our emotions are so clouded. Sometimes we just only want to hear what we want to hear. But when it's written there on the page, you can't argue with that. So there's something called logos. Logos is a Greek term, and it means just the general written word of God. And it's powerful. I'll tell you, when my emotions are all up there and everything's falling apart and you have a really bad medical report, I just need, like, the will of God. And his will and his word is simple. And it's powerful. And that is the guide. And logos is very, very powerful. And those are something called what I want to talk about today, how to hear a rhema word. A rhema is this Greek word. Now, it's grounded in the logos word. So the spoken word of God to you is grounded in the guardrails of the written word. Because if you don't have a good foundation in the written word, you don't know what you're hearing. All right? But this is the divinely spoken word of God to you. It provides revelation. It provides guidance and direction. And I want to teach you today on how to hear that. Gosh, there's so much I want to talk about. Thank you, Lord. It's great. I have my sermon for next week already. This is wonderful. So Psalms 119 verse 1 says this, I have hidden your word in my heart. So, like I said, it's just having fun today. I remember my dad, like anybody have like the dad with the garage that has 1,000 different things? Like dad always has the thing in your garage you're looking for because he's been collecting these things, for 20, 30 years. He has like 5 different wheels and 20 different wrenches. And like, you know, come on, they have an entire stack of like wood of all different shapes and sizes. And why go to Lowe's when you can just go to grandpa or dad's garage? Drove mom nuts. Cause like, it was just like, why do you have all these things? Cause what, you gather them over the years cause you might need them. So this is what happens when you hide God's word in your heart. It's always on hand. I have just like given ground for all the hoarding that is going on right now. That's okay. Well, you want to give it away, okay? But come on, right? Like we hide God's word in our heart. These tools, these building blocks, this thing to build solid foundation, like the tub to ready make cement so you can lay the foundation in your back porch. It's all there. And I've been gathering it, and all of a sudden what happens, it just kind of what rises up. I know exactly where that thing is. Gosh, you know, it's like so funny. Like if, like I said, if you have Brad's, we have one of those garages. It's awesome though, because we have the thing. And he doesn't have to go at like 9 o'clock at night and try to beat to go to Lowe's, you know. He's like, no, I know exactly where that is. I have no idea where it is. I don't even try to find it, but he knows exactly where it is. And it's the tool that we needed to fix what just broke. And so when we are spending time in the Word each day, you might not need that scripture now, but God will bring it up and ready. It might not just be for you. And what's so beautiful is when you have a neighbor down the street and they need a new light something fixture, and you're like, hey, man, I got it. You just paved the way to invite them to church. Okay, like, come on, because what you provided an answer. All right? So these things sometimes God will, the scripture will rise up. And these thoughts will rise up, or you're reading, and these things just kind of jump off the page. It's like the light bulb epiphany, okay? Now, I want to talk a little bit about some things that I didn't know I was hearing from God because I just thought I was ADD, distracted, not spiritual. Anybody think about that? Like, you're like, I can't focus in church. I can't focus when I'm reading the Word. Guess what? I'm not ADD. I'm not ADHD or any of those whatever. God just talks to me in pictures. Real talk. You'd be the person in class, like I'd have to sit in the second row just to pay attention and like write script, like write notes. And I got me some dates in college because I was the girl with really good notes on the second row, you know, okay. And I just was trying to focus because my mind would wander. But here's the beauty of it is when you're spending time in the Word, you're in a clean, scrubbed out brain, a redeemed brain, and God will speak through your spirit. And you'll just get these like thoughts, these daydreams, these pictures. You'll just start thinking of someone. And you're like, oh, I'm so unspiritual. I keep thinking of, you know, Judy from work that works in accounting. And she drives me nuts a little bit. But, you know, why am I thinking of her? Oh, maybe you should pray for her. Maybe the scripture you just read is for Judy. And that scripture you just read is going to change Judy, okay? But like, I'm just distracted. I'm spiritual. Actually, God is guiding you. You have that thought. You picture that place. Are you ready for this? You just like all of a sudden like, I think I need to go to Walmart. Oh, I'm always trying to avoid Walmart. Always. So it's the black hole of time. You go in. It's like 3 hours later. I've met 10 people I know. And I talked to strangers. So then I prayed for 3 people I didn't know. But I just keep thinking about Walmart. Well, maybe God wants you to actually go to Walmart. And you're beating yourself up. I'm unspiritual. I'm so distracted. Maybe God's just talking to you. And this is the treasure hunt we're on, which we're going to go into next week, of the story of Philip sent to the Ethiopian eunuch. And you think, I am in the middle of nowhere, why I'm even here, and I'm distracted, I totally missed it. Nope, you're supposed to call that person, you're supposed to go on a walk and walk the dog down that one road you never go down, because there's that one neighbor you never talk to, and they just happen to be rolling out their trash with tears in their eyes. And I'm just so unspiritual, all I kept thinking about is I need to walk the dog. Maybe God wants you to walk the dog. I want to teach the adventure of spending time with God. You'll never be bored again. And I'm going to say, you're normal. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not unspiritual. It's not that you're not good enough and you don't look like the little preacher with the 20-pound Bible and the matching suit. I said, you know, God created you to be you, and he is going to use you in a way that's going to blow your mind. You're going to go on the greatest adventures of your life. He's talking to you. You just need to know that he's talking to you and you're good enough. And you want to take some risks and not be a bored Christian? I'll teach you how to do it. I learned late. I learned everything late. I am 44, learning late. Okay, so, you know, don't beat yourself up. I figured all this stuff out in my 30s. So you know what? Let's go on a ride together. All right. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 9 says this. To one there is given the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, a word or a message of wisdom, something about the future. Wisdom for something you're going to go through in the future, you or someone else you know. Okay, that's what that lady in the lobby did. You're gonna go through this in the future, and you're not going to have to fear miscarriage. And at just the right time, you're going to wear that dress again. You're going to have a healthy kid. All right, and then it says this. To other, there's another word or a message of knowledge, and that is something about your present situation or something in the past. And honestly, these I get all the time, and I think we just hyper-spiritualize it. But you ever, I have gone through the most horrific situations of my life. I'm not saying it's worse than yours. But looking back, my own personal hell, where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to, number one, make it through it, or if I want to even. I have to be careful how I say this. I'll leave it at that. I have been at that dark place. And I remember opening up my Bible, and I couldn't even see it because of the pain and the torment and the pressure. My life is over. I'm never going to get through this. I don't know if I want to get through this. I just want it to stop. The pain is so deep. I just want the pain to stop. And I just open up the Bible because that's all I know that I can do. And I'm not getting the answer I'm looking for, but I keep sitting there until my heart stops shaking, my hands stop shaking. I think many of you have more been there than we'd like to admit. And then there is a scripture that comes off the page that speaks to my situation. And I stand on it. And it is a living, breathing, it's the Logos written word that is specifically to my situation. And those are the scriptures that I have fought to hang on to, sometimes for years, sometimes for a decade, sometimes just for that year, sometimes just for that month, sometimes just to get through that day, sometimes just to sleep through the night. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is God speaking to me. I think there's just something that we, like, just, read the Bible every day, but it's how we read it. And I think sometimes it's like, are you even hungry? Because if you don't value something, listen, if you've just, like, you know, I love Doritos. If I eat, come on, Thanksgiving day, if I go to mom's house and she's cooked all day, prep things for 3 days, and I just ate on the drive there to avoid car sickness, ate an entire bag of family-sized Doritos, it's trash, it's junk, it's not nearly as good as what, like, you know, mom's pork line or whatever. But I'm full of the junk, and I'm not hungry. So it doesn't taste that good. And I'll have to say this. Our time with the Lord, we're so filling ourselves with just trash. Sometimes it's just I've called 10 other people because I just wanted to vent, and I knew they were going to cut me off after 3 times, so I vented to 10 other people, and I've filled my life with trashy Doritos, and now I finally sit down with my Bible, and I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Yeah, because you just talked everybody out about it like 20 times. I've been there, done it. Confessing, and then repented, okay? All right, so here we are. You got to go hungry. All right, so 4 simple keys to hearing from God. I don't do formulas. I don't think formulas are healthy. I think anybody who gets a formula in the Bible, like, it's just going to blow up in your face. But I'll say there's some keys here you should probably pray about hearing the voice of the Lord. Number one, write it down, stillness. Be still and know that I'm God. Stillness. Quiet yourself so you can hear God's voice. And everybody's a little different. If you're all up in your emotions or you've just been gossiped, slandered, torn apart, picked apart, totally crucified and copied in everybody's email at work, best day ever, you might need a little more time than others. You might need to sit in your driveway in your car and your spouse might just not need to blow up your phone. And you might just need to tell them, I've had these moments with Brad. I'm not doing good right now. I'm really not doing good right now. And he just knows. I need to spend some time with the Lord. I know when he's not doing good, and he needs to just go for a walk, spend some time with the Lord. Or probably the walk, he goes to his garage. Stillness. Okay, the next thing is this. There's vision. So stillness, vision. And I want to say this, we're all a little bit different. Some people are a little bit more here kind of thing. Maybe you hear a song. I was all night long, because they extended my delivery date. I was like, are you serious? I'm 44. You told me I was going to go there. All right, I'm doing so good. They extended my delivery date. Yay. It's going to be awesome. And I was like, when are we going to have this baby, Lord? You know, I'm kind of like trying to schedule my life. And all night I kept waking up and I kept hearing this worship song, this one line, God will speak through worship songs to you. And it's that song we sing at church, you are always, always on time. I was like, that's right, my baby's going to be on time. Might be a thought, might be a picture. You might get a flash of a movie you watched. God can talk through carnal, terrible movies. He will work through whatever you got in your brain. I'm just saying, now don't watch too much trash. I'm being real, but I'm telling, like, God has even spoken to me through like a clip in a movie that I just saw. I was like, God, why are you giving me that like little clip of a movie? He's like, I'm glad you asked. Now let's talk about it. Now let's go to some scripture. Okay. So whether they be God daydreams, fuzzy picture, some people just see words, like a word just pops off. You ever been driving and like you read a sign wrong? You're not dyslexic. I'm serious. God will talk through road signs. God will like make you read something a little, it's not dyslexia. You're like, oh, there's something wrong with me. No, like God's just talking to you. Sometimes we think it's like a sign, it needs to be, I've been waiting for a sign. And literally like you read some billboard and there's one word that pops off of it. Oh, I read that wrong. All right, God, let's talk about it. Are you trying to talk to me? But here's the catch. It's within the guardrails and the guides of scripture. So if everything's assigned to you, you're just gonna get weirdo. But if everything is a treasure hunt that goes back to searching scripture and searching the word, you will find him and you will hear him. And it's the greatest Easter egg hunt you've ever been on. And these are the wild adventures we have with God. All right. And this is another one. This is one I didn't know. Spontaneous thoughts. These are just like ideas. You ever get an idea, you're praying about it, and an idea just kind of feels like it's out of like the left field. You're like, where did that idea even come from? It is so much smarter than me. I don't know if you're creative and all of a sudden you just have this idea. You're like, that's the solution. Oh my goodness. You know, there's just this like spontaneous thought that lights up your brain and it feels alive and it's filled with the fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness. There's just like this, that's it, God, I've been praying. How many people have been praying about something and asking God, and you're so focused on it, you can't even see it. And then all of a sudden you wake up at 2 a.m. and that thought, oh, that's so much smarter than me. So I go text it to myself because I don't forget it. It's God talking to you. All right. And I want to say this, write it down. Write it down. All right. I want to hit this. This is a real quick. So you're like, Sherry, give me some scripture for this. Everybody go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1-3. You're going to stick with me for 3 verses to back this. Stillness, vision, spontaneous thoughts, journaling, writing it down. Okay. So the context is this. This is the prophet Habakkuk, and he is frustrated. Anybody? Frustrated? Okay. He is frustrated and he's expressing those frustrations to God. There is calamity. There's chaos all around him. He is going, God, why are you allowing so much injustice in this world? Ever asked that one? Why is there so much injustice? He's asking these heavy questions. And God's showing him, he's like, well, because some of the religious Jews are taking advantage and oppressing other Jews, which is the modern day of Christians being jerks to Christians. I feel like that's like an everyday thing that's rubbed in our face, why people don't want to go to church. Because Christians are just as much jerks as the rest of us. We shouldn't be, but sadly, this is the broken world, right? All right. And he says this. He said, hey, okay, so basically the law of cause and effect. Because if you like are sinning against other people, if you're attacking other people, if you're being a jerk and you're gossiping and causing division, blah, 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 you're going to eventually, it's going to play out, right? And he's basically this. He said, hey, don't worry about it. It's going to play out. He said, so the Chaldeans, the enemy's going to come in. And he's like, that's even worse. It's even worse than the Jews being jerks to Jews. Now this other, our other enemy is going to come in. And God's like, hey, it's a law of cause and effect sometimes. All right. He is frustrated. He is heartbroken, but he is having this conversation to the Lord. There are things in your life you can't control. We talked about being chained to the roller coaster. There are people that are making decisions that are dumb. Whether it's in government or it's just the people that's running your business or someone in your family, you can't control it. You can't stop it. It's going to play out, right? It's hard. But we need to be talking to the Lord about it. So he is looking for answers and direction. He is looking for the rhema spoken word from God. I am looking for a living, breathing answer from the Lord. Habakkuk 2, 1-3 says, oh, I know I have been rash to talk out plainly this way to God. You need to be totally honest with God. Don't tell him what you think he wants to hear. Like, I go to my best friend and I'm like, I'm going to tell her what they want to hear because I want to sound like, you know, super spiritual Christian. She's like, stop wasting my time. That's not you. Be honest with God. I am frustrated. I am heartbroken. Why are you allowing this injustice to happen? Why are these, quote, other Christians, like, making my life a living hell? Like, what is going on, Lord? Be honest. All right? And this is what it says. Habakkuk, I like this in the Amplified Classic, AMPC. It says, I will in my thinking, stand upon my guard post of observation. I will station myself on my tower. What is your tower? It might be just your kitchen with your earbuds in. And I'm going to get quiet with God and put all the kids on the back porch. You know, you might be sitting in your car in the driveway. You know, you might be going for a walk with your dog, but I am going to get away. But I'll tell you, find the most quiet place away from distractions. Turn your phone off. Tell someone that, you know, where you are, by the way. Tell your spouse where you are. And hey, I'm going to just, you know, turn off my notifications for the next 45 minutes. I'm going to spend time with you. Habakkuk goes to his quiet place, the still place. All right? And he lays those burdens at the feet of the Lord. He is honest. I am not doing good right now. I am not good. I am frustrated. I'm mad. I don't understand. Why? And you may not give me the answer I'm looking for, but you are the answer, right? So number one, stillness. He gets still. He lets them things settle in the jar. And then he says this, and I will watch to see what he will speak within me, what answers I will make as his mouthpiece. I'm going to say this again. I'm telling you, read different translations. This is the Amplified Classic, AMPC. I will watch to see what he will speak within me and what answer I will make as his mouthpiece. That means God's going to talk in you and through you. Does that mean right then he's going to say, Elijah, this is God speaking? It sounds like he's going to talk inside. Okay, does that hear? You got me? All right. So this word, I will keep watch to see, comes from the Strong's Concordance. So I'll give you the exact place later. It means this, to present oneself, to present myself, okay? To look out or about, to observe, to perceive, to look upon, to give attention to see, to have vision or discern. We've been talking about discernment, okay? So Habakkuk 1:1, New Living Translation, says this. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk has received in a vision. New King James says, saw. ISV says, perceived. So this is God talking to you from the inside out. That make sense? All right, so that brings us to number two, vision. Note the vision. Note the God daydream. Note a picture that rises up. Note the words that jump off the pages of the Bible that comes off the billboard, okay? Fix your eyes on Jesus, not all the people that are hurting you right now. Because people are jerks. Christians just as well. I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus. Causes me to be still. Causes faith to rise. All right? And Jesus is the Word made flesh. That's what it tells us in John 1:1. So he is his scripture. So if I open up scripture as a guide and a guardrail, I'm not going to get weird. I'm not going to hear what I want to hear. I'm going to hear from God. It might be a God daydream. And now I'm going to go search scripture that I keep thinking about this. I keep thinking, now what does scripture say about these things? This is the treasure hunt. Pastor Sherry, I don't have time for that. Well, maybe you should make time. Because what we're doing isn't really working, is it? All right, Psalms 119, verse 18 says, open my eyes that I would behold the wondrous things out of your law, out of your word. The eyes of my heart, his word is wondrous and alive. And if you think it's boring, you're reading it wrong and you're probably rushing. All right, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That means I'm reading it going, God, speak to me. Speak through me, okay? And then write those things down. See where it aligns with scripture. If there's no scripture to back it, throw it out. Okay? It says this, God will speak within me what answers I will make as his mouthpiece. Tune in and start making notes. What spontaneous thoughts come to mind? Who are you thinking about? Where are you thinking about going? What kind of thought comes in? Start writing those things down. It's the treasure hunt. And go, no, search scripture. That sounds like a lot of work. What relationship doesn't take some work to listen? Come on. Whether it's your friend, your best friend, your marriage, you can put some time into listen, active listening, okay? Habakkuk is hearing God's voice within him. So remember, we went back to Kings, right? 1 Kings 19, 9 through 11, 12. Elijah's what? He goes to his man cave where he's still, where he's quiet, and the still small voice comes up, all right? Habakkuk 2, verse 2. says this, "The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as they walk by." So, you know, I hate writing. I'm honestly not a big writer. I just will like word vomit till it makes sense. But journaling is important. It kind of helps you just like write certain key scriptures down, certain key thoughts down, okay? And I'll say this, it'll help you process what God's saying versus what you're saying. Because like a really good God idea comes and you at least texted it to yourself at 2 a.m., right? That solution at work to that one account that's hitting the fan. And if we lose this account, I might lose my job. We need an answer. And I got nothing. And out of nowhere, I saw this kind of like, you know, like that spreadsheet. Oh, and that one number. Oh, and I thought about that one. Oh, yeah, I have that one contact at that one business. Okay. Write it down. You don't want to forget it, do you? Okay? Write the date down. Okay? God will, like, talk to you, and sometimes there's our response. There's our questions. Ever God talk to you, and you're like, what does that mean? So if you write it down, you're like, okay, I feel like God's saying this. This aligns with Scripture, but now I don't really know what that means, or what should I do next, God? You're kind of, what, documenting your conversation with your best friend. And the fruits of the Spirit come because what? When God's talking, there is peace, there is love, there is joy. Okay, there's these things that back it. There's so much I want to say, but I want to try to end here. Verse 3, "And the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens or it hurries to an end fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait for it earnestly, because it will surely come. And it will not be late." This really feels late. I hear like pregnancy in your 20s is like a different ball of wax, okay? All right, so I want to say this. God never does things the way we want it, the time we want it, with who we want it, because we are always so much smarter than God in our own ideas. Oh my gosh, did I just say that out loud? God, I know what is better for my life than you do. That's called complaining. I do it all the time. But you know, when you write it down, you kind of realize you're like, wow, I'm telling God how to do his job. Okay. You know, there's something about what saying it out loud. All right, so this is my encouragement to you in your time with God. Don't put God in a box. He's wild. He's wondrous. He seems late, but he's never late, right? It seems late because it's not the way I wanted it. It's not the time I wanted it. It's messy. It's wild. It's bananas. But he likes a really good story. He likes a glorious, wild turnaround. Our favorite movies are the ones that it's at the last minute, everything's falling apart, and we're going to lose everything, and then it all comes together. And that is the wild wonder of the Lord we serve. So you guys can stand up, and let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you ever want to look up God doing the same kind of flow, look how the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelations. It's the same thing. Revelations 10 through 11. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard behind me a voice. Write it down what you see." I want you to just challenge you to have a little more fun in your quiet time with God. So Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you so much. Lord, we're on a journey with you. We're tired of being bored. We're tired of being frustrated. We're tired of thinking we're not good enough to hear from you. We're not spiritual enough to hear from you. Lord, help us identify your voice and the ways that you're speaking to us, Lord. Lord, we want to spend time with you. It's not about getting what we want and the way we want it, the timing we want it. It's the journey of spending time with you as the answer. And us laying things at your feet. And I just challenge you right now, if there's some things you're really frustrated about, this isn't fair, this isn't just, this is wrong. This is what Habakkuk's saying to God. Talk to him about it. Be raw. Lay it at his feet. And let the word of God wash over you. Let it take the hurt, the pain, the panic, the fear, the anxiety. And sit with him. And it might be just a season of just sitting and waiting. But I'll say this, he's there with you in the waiting. He's with you in the waiting room. The worst place to be is in a hospital waiting room. We've been there way too often as a family. But he's there in the waiting. And in your darkest hour, he is the great turnaround. He is the resurrection and the life. Now, will you give him the time and space to speak into your life, to assure you, to comfort you, to strengthen you through it? Because though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. And he is always speaking. So Lord God, I thank you. It says when we seek you, we will find you. We are seeking you. We are seeking your word. And we know that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd like